Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Look at him right now.
This was the glory days, Andy. There's a national championship. I smell it. I'm sniffing it. It's coming.
And James Strebel.
Oh. It's going to be here sooner rather than later. Buckle up. Let's go. Let's freaking go.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
A little Bruce Springsteen. There we go. ESPN Louisville is your exclusive home in Louisville for the NBA Finals Thursday. Game 6, Warriors versus Celtics, 8 p.m. on all stations and the ESPN Louisville app. Jack, did you watch any of that game last night?
I did.
You did? Yeah. Wow. How about that? Okay. Absolutely. I didn't. I was at softball and baseball all-star games. I got home about 9:30, and we all got in the pool.
See, that's what I would have done if I had a pool.
Dude, yes. It was like, I've grown really, really fond of night swimming, like swimming at night.
It's
super
great.
Especially relaxing.
Especially when it's like this weather. It's perfect.
The water was perfect. It was absolutely perfect last night. But I did see that Steph Curry went 0-for-9 from 3, which is the first time he's done that in 233 straight games that he's missed it. You know, he's made a 3 in 233 straight games. Very much like the Kentucky. Remember the Kentucky record, Jack?
How
the streak,
many times?
The streak. They talked about it every single bleeping game.
Here's the difference between Steph Curry and Kentucky, though. Steph, there was not many times where like, oh, he hasn't hit a three, and it's the third quarter. Kentucky felt like every game.
Yeah, it was. No, it really. Yeah, but they had to do it. And plus, like Kentucky, it was a team effort to miss a three. Steph Curry's one dude.
Yeah,
he's one dude that made a three in 233 straight games. It was awesome. And then on top of everything, the Warriors won by 10 with Steph Curry playing like that, and then Draymond fouls out.
Well, Boston turned the ball over a million times.
Well, there you go. Yeah. See, I go to you for my NBA updates, Jack, because all I knew was Steph Curry into three.
Yes.
Draymond Green fouled out again. Everybody hates him, and the Warriors still won by 10 on the road. So Zach Golden State.
Yeah.
I apologize. And they're going back to Boston Thursday.
Up 3-2.
There we go. Up 3-2. There we go. All right. Let's get back to NIL talk, because I've never really gotten to it. I had this great monologue planned and mapped out in my head. So if you're just joining us, the first hour was dominated by the fact that Mark Blankenbaker, the sheriff, was on the case.
Andy Sweeney,
little Freedom of Information Act. To see, you know, who wrote that letter, and Blankenbaker got the news that it was indeed John Ramsey. He got the original email addressed to Lori Gonzalez. So that dominated the first segment. We had Paolo DiPiccolo on. So now let's get back to Kenny Payne at NIL. And I can't recreate the magic, Jack, of that first monologue. I just can't do it. So I'm just going to dive right in. Remember, Travis Branham joining us in about 25 minutes to talk about Imani Bates and all things recruiting. All right, so I just saw Luke Hancock, by the way, while we were on
M-O-B.
Break. I saw M.O.P. I waved at him and said, hey, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. Good to see you. And so we had a nice
little... He threw
little...
Linnell's down. He punched you in the face.
Yeah, all that happened. No, yes. Actually, it was a very cordial exchange between Luke Hancock and I. See, that's the thing that people, like, don't, like, understand. I think people had this image in their heads that, like, when I walk into the studio, like, everyone's just immediately starts, like, yelling at me and cussing at me. And, like, we hate you. Like, they don't understand, like, the people here don't hate me as much as the people that listen or on the text
correct.
Line. Like, actually, Luke Hancock and I are nice to each other. I'm nice to Marcus Maybin and Steve Rummage. I'm in a text chain with Blankenbaker. So all these things that you think about me are not true, but
yeah,
it's
people
okay.
People envision you being dressed in blue head
all
to
the
toe,
time.
Being body painted
yeah.
all blue. Having your hands locked, throwing L's down.
And then, like, a very abrasive person.
Yes.
Like, all the Kentucky fans is like, you see what Cal's bringing in? You see it? You see it? I got another recruit here on the phone. Like, that's not me. Like, most of the time, I do it on the radio because it's fun and that's my outlet. But, yeah, no, I'm actually very nice to everybody.
Yes.
And everyone's nice to me. Hey, you know, it's called breaking character, Jack.
Yes.
I just broke
the fourth wall.
Yeah, I broke the fourth wall on the radio. I broke kayfabe. That's a wrestling term. You probably don't know.
I didn't know that
that's
one.
Okay, yeah. I broke kayfabe is what I just did. But anyway, all right, so last night in front of season ticket holders, Kenny Payne talked to Luke Hancock, who I just spoke to in the hall. And one of the questions for Kenny Payne was indeed about NIL. And look, he talked about a lot of things. He talked about his time at Louisville. He talked about how close he was to people in the community. And, you know, and how much the University of Louisville's basketball program means to him. That was my first take on this, right? Was Kenny Payne wants to do a good job here. This is his dream job, okay? But the NIL question came to Kenny Payne last night, as inevitably it would come to Kenny Payne. It's no secret that they've lost out on some guys. And Kenny Payne was very blunt when he was asked about NIL. Here's from Eric Crawford's article on WDRB.com. Recently, this is from Crawford's article, talking about Kenny Payne, he said he had a player question what his role could be with so many other talented wing players on the court. And here's Kenny Payne's answer. Here's our conversation, Payne said. Coach, when you sign this kid from Tennessee, I'm thinking he's talking about Brandon Huntley Hatfield here. He's really good. How in the world do you see us playing together? Kenny Payne answers, are you watching NBA games? Do you see two talented forwards on the court together? Yes, sir, the recruit said. So why in the world would you ever ask me that question, kid? Why would you ever ask me that? All right, the player said. Coach, you're right. Second question from the player. How much money are you going to give me in NIL? Kenny Payne answers, I'm absolutely not going to tell you one dime that I'm going to give you. You will not come to this school for NIL. I'm not going to do it. And I have NIL money. The very next day, he went to another school. All right, so there's some things that Kenny Payne says here that I actually agree with. And the way that he talks to recruits, that's the way John Calipari talks to recruits. It is. There was a similar situation with what was his name? Shireman?
Baylor Shireman.
Right? That was the
great white hope of Creighton basketball.
Yes, the great white hope of Creighton basketball, who all of a sudden his addition made them a top five team while he went to the NBA combine and stunk at the NBA combine. But that's a conversation for another time.
Hey, Greg McDermott hasn't put his hands on him yet.
No, you, good point. You know what? He's not had the great Greg
McDermott.
He hasn't
McDermott been molded
bump.
By Greg McDermott.
Right, you're right. The basketball genius,
so many
Greg
great
McDermott.
NBA pros.
But that's a very Calipari like answer.
It is.
If you think about it. And Kenny Payne's coming from the school of John Calipari. Very direct with recruits. He's not making promises. He's not telling you what NIL is going to do for you up front. So here's my question. And you I'm asking you this too, because I want your take on it. The position that Kenny Payne's in right now, building the program. He talks about building a culture, and he talks also about, and I'll read this later on in the show, about the kind of team he wants to build. And it also sounded very Calipari-ish, by the way. We could even play a game with some of these quotes. Who said it, KP or Cal?
Maybe I'll do that tomorrow.
We might do that tomorrow. Who said it, KP or yes. Cal? But when you're trying to build a program and you're trying to build a culture, I think his first priority needs to be, I got to get guys here. I got to do what I got to do to get guys here and start winning. And when you start winning and when you start getting recruits and you start getting buzz, then maybe you can pull back. Because he's not coming in with a loaded roster. He's not coming in with recruits in his back pocket the way John Calipari did when he left Memphis to Kentucky. I talk about that a lot, but let's be real here. Those guys were going to commit to Calipari at Memphis.
Right.
He just was able to bring them and say, hey, I'm at Kentucky. Come to Kentucky with me. Kenny Payne's not in the same situation. He wasn't at a college where he already had recruits, and he could go to Louisville and say, hey, follow me. He came from the NBA. That's not how this is going to work. So while I, in my heart, I kind of agree with Kenny Payne, but at the same time, it's like, man, you have a great tool here. And you're trying to win at Louisville. And while you're not in a situation where you're going to contend for a Final Four this year, man, make the tournament. Make the tournament.
Be competitive.
Be competitive. Use NIL to set you up for the future. Then you can say, hey, look, man, this is Louisville. I'm not telling you if you're going to make an NIL. Come here. We'll figure it out. But this is Louisville basketball. Do you want Louisville basketball or not? Because Louisville basketball is going to be good for you. That's not the situation or the scenario he's working with right now with Louisville basketball. What do you think about that, Jack?
No, it absolutely isn't, and that's been the biggest thing that's been handcuffing him, is that this isn't what Louisville basketball normally is. He's not selling what Louisville basketball normally is.
Right.
To where you look at it and you could say, I don't agree, though. Like, you shouldn't be just saying, we don't do that. I mean, because other people are doing that, and other people are going to reap the benefits of doing that with NIL. And I'm not saying you need to go and just say, oh, well, you're going to make X amount of money, but instead the easy pivot is just go look at all these other NIL deals that players have.
Right.
Have that go here. Like while I'm not going to guarantee you a number because we don't do that here.
Right.
There's plenty of potential here.
Right. Like, I respect him for being up front with whoever this recruit
right,
is.
But I feel like that's a better way to deliver it than just right. saying, no, we don't do that.
We don't do that here. Yeah, yeah.
Because that to me sounds very archaic, very...
It sounds musty.
Yes, it sounds musty, and it sounds like someone who's not embracing NIL.
Right.
And that's... And you can't win these days. Right. If you haven't embraced NIL.
And he doesn't have, like, a player to point at and say, like, hey, look, you're going to be fine. Look at so-and-so. Like, John Calipari has players to point at and say, look.
You point at Ty Washington.
Shaden Sharp didn't play a damn minute, and look what he did. Kaysen Wallace just signed with an agency. Yeah,
and he'll point to Oscar when he gets all of his
bingo,
stuff going.
Boom, he'll point at Oscar. Like Kenny Payne doesn't have someone to point to yet and say, look at his deals. Look how much he's making.
Sid Curry got a Jeep.
Yeah, anything. I mean, right. Again, I understand what he's saying, but, man, Scott Satterfield doesn't believe that. Scott Satterfield's like, this is what I have for you. This is
and
what
Scott
we're going to get.
Scott Satterfield's out here just working, fool.
Because Scott Satterfield can't afford to play this game. And when you're in college athletics, unfortunately, morals and personal conviction and things like that don't always cut it.
Why is it bad morally that a player gets paid?
I'm with you. I don't understand. That's my beef with Mitch Barnhart. I mean, that's why I harp on Mitch Barnhart all the time, because he's very much in the same mold as Kenny Payne in his way of thinking about NIL. It's not even outdated. It's just wrong. It's wrong. This is the new reality of college basketball. Kids are going to ask how much money they're going to make NIL. They just are.
And Kenny Payne's talking about, well, I'm not worried about kids. I don't want kids that are coming here to make NIL. I want kids that are coming here to get the NBA. It's like, what's the end goal for either player?
Right.
It's to make money by playing basketball.
And going into the NBA to do what?
Make money. That's
playing
what you're
basketball.
Doing in the NBA,
yes.
To make money playing basketball. And you know what happens if you're doing it the NIL way? You might get to keep them an extra year or two and your team to be better because of it.
Look at TJD, Oscar Tshiebwe.
Yes, Armando Bankai.
Drew Timmy.
Yes.
I mean, all these guys didn't come back because they love Gonzaga, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Indiana. They came back because they got the bag.
If this was a year ago, none of those guys are back.
Do you think, seriously, do you think that Mike Woodson and John Calipari sat down with TJD and Oscar Tshiebwe and said, look, I'm not going to promise you with anything NIL. You just need to come back to play basketball for me. No. That's not how that went. That TJ was like, I'm going to go test the NBA waters. Okay.
Well, he got COVID.
Unfortunately, he got COVID. But still, I mean, he was able to sit down with Mike Woodson. What can you do for me? What can we do set up NIL-wise?
Yeah.
Oscar Sheboy, I want my mom to come here. I want my mom to come to America and live in America, get out of the condo, the Congo, and the situation that she's in. And what did John Calipari do? He went and got Joe Kraft, and he got Mitch McConnell, and he got the thing done.
Yeah,
is the new reality of college basketball.
Yeah, and what did Indiana do? In mid-May, if you remember, they launched a huge collective, and they launched a whole, you know, program with charities and stuff that players can make money through part of the money that they raised through that as well. And they launched the thing with Mark Cuban and the t-shirt thing, which that's not going to be a huge money thing. But it's another thing. They're launching different things. And
right.
They're showing, hey, here's proof that we're doing this because we want to keep you.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at this take from Kenny Payne. I really am. I'm stunned. I thought he'd come in and he would be able to utilize NIL and want to utilize NIL. And it shatters the narrative. And again, Louisville fans out there that are listening, I'm not painting a broad brush with all of you. I'm talking about some narratives that were on these airwaves, on Twitter, on blogs, blah, blah, blah. I know most of you all are level-headed and have, you know, nuance in your lives when you talk about your sporting life. But there is a narrative out there that with Kenny Payne comes World Wide West, and with Kenny Payne comes Nike connections, and with Kenny Payne comes Nike money and recruiting connections and this, that, and the other. This flies in the face of that. I mean, I think it's fair to say that World Wide West is not going to have an impact on what Louisville does recruiting.
No, World Wide West is running the Knicks.
Yeah, he's running the Knicks. Like, he doesn't have time to funnel players to Kenny Payne while he's running the Knicks or Nolan Smith or whomever. It was a narrative. Look, Louisville fans were excited. They had these narratives in their head. Not all of you had these narratives in their head. Like, this is what it's going to be with Kenny Payne, and he's not doing it. He sounds old and musty here, and that's not what I expected at all.
What the other quotes that he's said in the past? Because I mean, like, people, like, we've had this discussion on the show, and people are like, "Well, are you worried about Kenny Payne?" And I am. I'm like, no. I mean, like, it's the same type of blanket statements that, you know, Cal say and Woodson says, Bill Self,
right,
that they all say, and then you turn around and Oscar's going to make $2 million, Trace is going to make all the money he's going to make,
sure.
And you better damn well know Kansas is doing well.
Oh, you better believe. Yeah, Duke, I mean, what the hell? Duke just hired
somebody from Nike
to be like the GM of Duke basketball.
So
what do you think they're doing?
Like, I was like, okay, that's just a statement that he's saying because that's just what all the coaches are saying, but he's just talking out of both sides of his mouth. But for this...
But there's evidence.
But yes, that's what I'm saying. This specific quote...
Bingo.
Where you get an actual story and an anecdote on it,
mm-hmm.
and he's just willingly saying, like, it's not an issue that, hey, we wanted this kid, and he asked how much money he could make. I said, we don't do that here. The next day, he committed somewhere else. I'm like, okay, that's an issue.
Right. Yeah, that is
an absolute issue. That can't be happening.
No, especially when you're so desperate for players. I read that last night. Or I'm sorry, I read that last night on Twitter, and it stunned me. It just absolutely stunned me.
That more than anything else that's happened since Kenny Payne took the job, with all the misses and all the stuff that's happened, that to me is the single most worrisome quote or thing.
Right.
That I would worry about long term more than anything else that's happened with the roster this offseason.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely with you. It just, and I wonder if he's going to realize it. I wonder if he's going
to
realize
it. He has to, right?
But it's too late now for this season, or seemingly so, unless there's some magic trick that they pull. I mean, Jeff Greer said it yesterday. I mean, this could be the roster.
Yeah.
And he said yesterday, I mean, if you want to put, do you have that by any chance? I mean, let's go ahead and play. So we're talking yesterday with Jeff Greer about this exact thing, about the players and, you know, filling the roster and filling spots. And here's what he had to say about next year's team.
I had first heard about it. I put it in my newsletter, I think two newsletters ago, if I'm not mistaken, that Michigan had kind of reentered the conversation, because I know that they were around at first when it was first a possibility that he was going to transfer, and then he decided that he would. I remember that they were mentioned, and then it all of a sudden was like, it's just Louisville and DePaul. And then, like 2 weeks ago, I heard Michigan might have some steam there. And then you mentioned that. And look, I mean, crystal balls, I think we have to all be careful with that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, they can change them, and you know, it's just kind of a fool's errand sometimes. But Travis Branham is as good as it gets covering recruiting. So, look, if Louisville doesn't get Imani Bates, I mean, it's mid-June, so you got to start to think maybe this is the roster that they're going to have, in which case, you know, there's clearly a couple of things that are going to be missing from it, but I do think that there's a decent amount of talent on the roster, but certainly not having another ball handler, not having somebody who can help you in your backcourt as like a wing or like a point forward type role that Imani Bates would have would be a big miss for Louisville, and they're missing out a bunch of guards here late in the process too, which is not helpful.
All right, so there it is. Jeff Greer talking about next year if Imani Bates doesn't commit, and if and we'll talk to Travis Branham here in about 7 minutes about that. If he doesn't come to Louisville, that Louisville looks like they may be rolling with 9 scholarship players. So yeah, and then you know, you go back and you look at that roster and you think about what Kenny Payne said at that event last night, and you're like, I don't know, man. It just, I don't know. Let's read some text before we take a break and get Travis Branham in here. Texter says, didn't Cal say the exact same thing as KP on NIL? Yeah, he did. We talked about that. He did say very similar things.
And that's why originally I wasn't worried about all this stuff. But we don't have an exact drawn out example of that, of Cal missing a player because of that. And also, Oscar Tshiebwe's going to make $2 million. Ty got a Porsche.
Yeah, exactly. And Casey Walsh just signed with an agency to help him with his NIL. So, again, Calipari has the luxury of saying that to recruits because of the brand, because of examples, because of the success of Kentucky basketball. Kenny Payne is trying to build a program right now. He's trying to get players. He's trying to get back to the tournament. He's trying to make Louisville basketball an attractive option again. And I know you all love Louisville basketball, and I know you all think that it's great, and it has been great. But right now, it just isn't. Right now, it just is not great. And this isn't cheating. This isn't cheating. This is upfront. You can tell kids, hey, you have an opportunity here. Here's what we can do for you. Here's how we can help you. Kenny Payne does not have the luxury of John Calipari, of Bill Self, of John Shire, of all these other coaches that have a built-in successful program right now. He doesn't have those advantages. Right now, Kenny Payne got to do what he got to do, and he's not doing it, and you should be frustrated by that. I would be frustrated. I am frustrated by that when it comes to Mitch Barnhart, because I don't think he's doing what he can do for Kentucky NIL-wise with football. The results, or the lack thereof, are there for that. I'm upset. I wrote an email to Mitch Barnhart. It won't ever be read.
Have you heard back?
I have it. I check every day.
I'm telling you, you need to print the email out, hand sign your name, and mail it. No.
You're right. You know what? He had to mail it. Barnhart's one of those guys that loves checking his mailbox every day. He pays more attention to paper mail, to snail mail, than email.
In fact, you should take it a step farther. You should hand write out your email word for word.
Dude, I have atrocious handwriting.
It doesn't matter. So then you should have a typed and a handwritten version.
Yeah.
He would be the guy that appreciates
both.
The handwritten version.
Yes, I'll do both, because I'll show you examples of my handwriting during the break. It's awful. All right, a couple more texts here. Louis Rabeau did some capital J journalism, and Bates isn't going to Michigan. Okay, we'll see. We're going to have Travis Branham in here in just a few minutes. We'll slow down on that.
Louis was playing the source game this morning.
Source game. I look, two things can be true. Michigan doesn't have an answer for you, and Imani Bates wants to go to Michigan or somewhere that's not Louisville. That's what I think's going on. That's what I'm going to ask Branham. What's going on here? Texter says, if Kenny Brain doesn't embrace NIL, the cards are in trouble. That's what we're talking about. Texter, was that text from Ramsey? Texter, most recruits probably not probably all, but one don't have a name, image, or likeness. Why would you guess who would want them as a sponsor? Man, that's for them to figure out. That's for the coaches to figure out. And when you need bodies, you got to figure that out quickly.
Yeah, that's for them. That's why you have the collective that Louisville just launched like a week ago.
Right, exactly. Tector, wrong. You set a standard, build a culture like SAT has done, and then the recruits come and build a long-lasting program, not just short-lived success.
No, SAT panicked.
Satterfield's doing the exact opposite of that. Louisville football doesn't have a standard or a culture. You all were 6-6, lost to Air Force last year, didn't make a bowl the year before. You get blitzed by Kentucky every single season. Scott Satterfield almost got fired.
And then he had to come to Jesus moment.
He had to come to Jesus moment, and he's using NIL to save his job. It has nothing to do with the culture or playing for Scott Satterfield. It has everything to do with NIL and money. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Scott Satterfield, kids aren't coming here because of the culture of Louisville football. Kids are coming here because Scott Satterfield's like, I get you a badass deal. Do you want to come? Yeah, let's do it. That's what's going on. If that's the case, if it was the culture, why weren't these recruits coming last year or the year before? I mean, what a silly text. Texter, the narrative KP isn't embracing NIL is a joke. Clearly, people don't listen. I just read you the quotes, man. I'm not saying he's not embracing NIL, but he's not using it the way he can use it and the way he should use it to build a team. He said these things, not me. I'm just giving you the read on it. A lot of Louisville fans texting that they're nervous, that they don't like the Kenny Payne, what he said. Texter, mother, I'm going to go check the mailbox. That's exactly right. All right, let's take a break. Travis Branham comes next. We'll talk to him about Imani Bates and more here on The Take, ESPN Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Who won the Derby?
And James Strebel.
Strike Rich. Rich Strike. I just mixed the name up. Rich Strike won.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right. Louisville City FC is back in action on Saturday as the Boys in Purple host Orange County SC. Join Jeff Milby, Casey Whitfield at 7:45 for pregame with kickoff at 8 o'clock. And it's all on ESPN 680, 105.7 and the ESPN Louisville app. And joining us today, thank you, Travis Branham, for carving out some time. National basketball analyst for 247 Sports, Naismith Trophy selector, and just an all-around nice guy that loves to join us here on The Take. It's Travis Branham. Travis, good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on. How are you?
Oh, doing good. It's hot as you know what here in Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, we're like triple digits heat index here. So trying to stay indoors and cool today, Travis. I don't know where you are, but hopefully it's not as hot as it is here today.
I am actually in Florida, so it is pretty daggone hot down here, but I have been fortunate enough to spend the day by the pool on the beach, so
hey.
You are not going to be hearing me complain one bit about it. So I do feel bad for all my friends back at home who are having to endure this insane heat wave that you guys are currently experiencing.
Well, apologies for pulling you away from the pool in the ocean, my man. I'll be sure so you get back to that cool water. You know what I'm saying? Get some drinks. I'm sure you have some drinks on hand by the pool. So I'll be quick with you so you can get back to that relaxing.
I appreciate that.
All right, Travis. Obviously, the main thing that we wanted to talk to you about today is Imani Bates. It had been for a while now, Travis. Ever since really he opened his recruitment back, you know, decommitted from Memphis, or not decommitted, but left Memphis, opened his recruiting. Louisville was hot and heavy early on, and all the smart money was on Louisville. It seemed like a foregone conclusion, and many were looking at this week in particular for him to commit and stick with the Cards and Kenny Payne and being a vital piece of that roster. But then you made some waves yesterday by saying things are a little cloudy with that, and that Michigan may be making a push here with Imani Bates. Can you kind of explain what changed your mind on Bates to Louisville?
Yeah, this has been an interesting kind of transfer to track over the past couple months. I mean, even before he ever even hit the portal, the case with a lot of these transfers that are hit the portal, you hear rumors like these guys are going to end up hitting, and these are some schools that are already kind of they're already interested in type thing. And so with Imani, you heard there he was interested in potentially going back home, going to Michigan. Shortly after, it sounded more like the interest wasn't necessarily mutual. And over the past couple months, especially throughout the NBA draft process, the key piece it has appeared to be Caleb Huston. a former five-star prospect in the 2021 class, plays for Michigan. He continued to stay in the NBA draft process, and when that happened, it seemed that an opportunity has kind of re-arisen for Imani Bates to potentially go back home and play for Michigan. But during that whole time, Louisville seemed to be the leader, seemed to be the most the destination that Bates and his family were interested in. But obviously, recruiting is very fluid. Things change all the time. And the decision of Caleb Huston appears to have made an impact in where things could be headed. And, yeah, like I said, it's become cloudy now. You're hearing a lot of Michigan buzz out there. Not saying Louisville's out of it by any means, but just that this thing is really kind of tightened back up. And potentially, yeah, it could end up being a Michigan win in the transfer portal at the end of the day.
Travis Branham joining us, national basketball analyst for 247 Sports. Travis, could it be a situation where Bates, his family, want Michigan and they're putting that out there as kind of like a last-ditch effort to get there, and it's more on their side than it is the Michigan side?
There's always a chance of that, but my information hasn't necessarily been so much that. Again, Caleb Huston, that does seem to be kind of a vital role in this recruitment, and I wouldn't really, yeah, just essentially my information has it aligned with that regard in terms of this is just Bates and his family kind of pumping this to see if Michigan will take the bait. This is more seeming to be more mutual and potentially where this is headed.
Yeah, that's why I asked that question, because around here people, obviously, Travis, Louisville basketball fans are nervous about this, and one of the things that they were saying to kind of, you know, calm their nerves was that narrative that I just presented to you. So, Travis, I mean, Louisville fans expected Imani Bates possibly this week. There was reports out there coming from some Louisville insiders that Louisville would have their roster wrapped up by this weekend, set and ready to go. Imani Bates would be part of that roster. When do you see Imani Bates finally making a decision? Is it going to be this week, or are we still going to have to wait this one out a little bit longer?
To be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that. That is something I've been trying to figure out myself, but I have not been able to get a clear-cut answer as to a time frame on a decision. Now, this has been going on for a while, so if it does happen this week, I will not be surprised, and that is one reason why I went ahead and made a move on my crystal ball, because it's become cloudy, and this decision can be made any time at this point. Trying to remember when he even went in, but it's probably been over a month at this point. And for any kid, you'll learn, especially with transfers, but any kid, these recruitments, they don't like to drag out too much, and especially on the in the transfer portal, these things tend to move pretty quick. So the lifespan of this recruitment seems to be coming to an end just from a certain just day's perspective. You can only go through this and want to deal with this for so long before you do finally rip the Band-Aid off and pull the trigger. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me this week, but I personally can't give you any definitive time frame. This is going to happen this week because I frankly don't know and still working on it.
Right, and the reason I asked that is because I remember the initial report was, you know, he pushed, not pushed, but like said he'll have a commitment date around like mid-June, I believe, is when he's talking about. That's why I think people were focused on this. Travis, just to wrap up Imani Bates talk, and then I have a couple other recruiting questions that I'd like to ask you. Where does Louisville and Kenny Payne go from here? I mean, they've targeted guys like Tyrese Hunter, Malachi Smith, Isaiah Mosley, and you know, I thought maybe they'd be interested in Dior Johnson, but it looked like Pittsburgh, you know, was in on that, and that wrapped up very quickly Friday. Are there any names out there left for Louisville? Because, man, they need guards. They need them in a bad way.
They do need guards, but at the end of the day, you don't want to just go out and take somebody for the sake of taking somebody. You are flipping a new chapter in Louisville basketball. You're coming off the Chris Mack era and now entering the Kenny Payne era. Anytime you experience a coaching change, you don't want to just start taking players for the sake of taking players. There's a culture you want to build. There's a lot of things that you want to kind of put in place, and bringing in the right players will help you establish that. And so it's not – you do want to be a bit selective. So I'm sure they're not done in this cycle, but at the same time, you don't just go take players. You look more long-term. All right, now let's look forward to 2023. You got Aaron Bradshaw currently on campus. So how do you go after him? How do you continue targeting him and try to get him on to be on the roster for next year? Obviously, he's teammates with DJ Wagner. You get Aaron Bradshaw on. Now you can continue to push for DJ Wagner. And obviously the thing with these kids is the kids recruit other kids. So get Aaron on. You got a guy now in Louisville, or not in Louisville's locker room, but DJ's locker room, trying to get him to Louisville. So it's not panic mode. This is it'll be year number one. I don't anticipate them being done, but at the same time, you got to look long-term more here than in the short-term and just start taking guards and bodies just for the sake of taking guards and bodies.
And you read my mind. That was going to be my next question was Aaron Bradshaw. As you know, obviously, in Louisville, he was at Kentucky over the weekend. When on some recruiting services has Kentucky as a heavy favorite for Aaron Bradshaw. All indications, his visit to UK went very well. Any insight on, you know, what he's thinking? Or a timeline for him. I'll leave the DJ Wagner stuff for later because we have like every time we have you on, I believe we talk about DJ Wagner. So we'll focus on Aaron Bradshaw here, another high five star, big time, big man in that class. What do you read in that situation?
Yeah, my information just in regards to the Kentucky visit was it went exceptionally well. Kentucky definitely isn't a great spot there. Now I have been on vacation, so I haven't done too much digging around the Louisville visit yet. But anytime you get a kid on an official visit, you're in a good spot. So still a lot to play out with Aaron, still a lot to play out with DJ. Can the two kind of play off each other? Can you get one, which then in turns potentially to another? Definitely good potential for that. So, I like Louisville's chances. And Kentucky, like I said, is in a good spot. So we'll see. In the coming days, what kind of information comes out in regards to how this visit actually went?
It's been a while since we had a good Kentucky Louisville battle for recruits, and it looks like we have two now. It's been a while since Marcus Teague and Trey Lyles and those guys. So now we've got two of them on the horizon. I expect one school to get one guy and the other school to get the other guy. That's just kind of my read on the situation. I think Kentucky probably gets Bradshaw, and I think Louisville probably gets DJ Wagner at this point.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. They are not tethered together. They are not tied together. If DJ goes to Louisville or if Aaron goes to Kentucky, that does not mean they're going to be a package deal because it seems to be that both programs are recruiting each of them just as individuals. If they come as a package deal, that's just a giant cherry on top. But, there's definitely a good possibility for that, and don't really – fault you for thinking that. Good chances of it.
All right, last one for you, Travis. I'll let you get back to your vacation. Robert Dillingham, top five point guard in the 2023 class, is set to make a decision later this month. All signs pointing to Kentucky. Do you see any chance that he goes anywhere other than Lexington?
I personally will be stunned if he goes anywhere other than Lexington. Kentucky missed on him the first time. Shin Coleman has been the point man, and Shin has been very determined to not miss out on him for the second time. He obviously, for those that haven't followed Rob Dillingham too much, he was previously committed to NC State. He is a North Carolina kid, but he's currently playing out in California. He committed there, but obviously decommitted back in the early spring. Kentucky has targeted him again heavily ever since. And yeah, sounds to be a June 24th commitment date in all signs. Or pointing to a Kentucky commitment.
Well, that would be a good day for me, Travis. I am a Kentucky fan, so you just made me very, very happy. All right, Travis, appreciate the time, brother. Enjoy your vacation. Get back to that pool and that cocktail.
Anytime. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thanks. One. All right, you too, man. Appreciate that. All right, Travis Branham, 247 recruiting analyst. Go ahead, Jack. Go ahead.
I've sensed a pivot. You've pivoted to Dillingham. You're conceding DJ Wagner and pivoting Dillingham. You wouldn't even ask him about Wagner.
Well, because every time he comes on here, we ask him about DJ Wagner.
So you got to play the Macarena, as Andy said.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you got to play. But I mean, if I ask about DJ Wagner, he's going to tell me that he's Louisville. I mean,
and you don't want to hear
it. I don't want to hear it, but he said it anyway. When I gave him this, instead of asking about DJ Wagner, I gave him a scenario. And his answer to the scenario was going to be the answer to the question. I said, I think it looks like DJ to Louisville.
Yes, but,
Aaron
but even when you're
Kentucky,
doing that, you're putting it away where he's like, well, Kentucky's going to get this top 25 star kid.
Right. Well, I had to phrase it that way, so I just didn't ask it flat out. I was like, here's the scenario in my head, Travis. What do you think of this? Is this a scenario that you see? And he confirmed it. That's why he said, yeah, that seems like a very likely scenario. Kentucky gets Bradshaw. Louisville gets DJ. Kentucky also get. Jack, he's going to commit on June 24th.
I know he is.
He's going to commit to Kentucky. I mean, it's not a pivot. It's literally going to happen. I still want DJ Wagner. I still don't think it's wrapped up as people think it is. But, I mean,
that's 2 days in a row you've said he's probably going to Louisville.
Jack, everyone in the world's telling me he is. At some point, I can't just be stupid and obtuse, as Diener called Blankenbaker. And I've got, I still don't think it's wrapped up. I think it is leaning Louisville, but I'm not willing to concede that it's a done deal. I don't think it's a done deal. I don't. I think it's trending that way, yes, but as far as like it's wrapped up, it's done, I don't think that. I think it's leaning that way, and, you know, if it's just Dillingham, it won't be just Dillingham. They'll get other guys.
Right.
I mean, Kentucky's in. I'll do the on-through recruiting update at 5, maybe next segment at 5 o'clock. We'll do that. If you play some Danny Manning sound and some other sound, we'll look at the on-through recruiting. Because, I mean, Kentucky's in on a lot of guys. Louisville, not so much. I'll read you. Yep. Indiana's in on more dudes than Louisville.
Xavier Booker. They're in on Xavier Booker.
Who? IU? Yeah. No, there's more. I looked at it earlier. They're in on, like, I use it on more guys in Louisville in that
good
class. I mean, it's, again, goes back to the NIL stuff. I mean, if you just get DJ Wagner as 1 5-star and that's it, is that enough?
Caleb Glenn?
I mean, is that enough?
No.
So, you know, we'll circle back.
Like, that needs to be a big class for Louisville.
It needs to be a huge class because everybody's telling us, I mean, Travis Ram just said it. Like, this looks like the team. And he said it. He's like, look, I mean, if they don't get Imani Bates, there's no point in just going out there and just getting guys. Jeff Greer said it yesterday. Branham just said it now. It looks like that Louisville's going to have 9 scholarship players.
I don't understand why. I get you don't want to just take a guy to take a guy. But why not just
take...
Why not take a flyer on a guard that only has 1 year of eligibility left? Like, what do you lose by doing
that? Right, and then when they talk about building a culture, I mean, Brandon Huntley Hatfield wasn't exactly a culture guy at Tennessee, was he?
No.
Imani Bates, who they all wanted, and Kenny Payne went all in on, doesn't seem to be like a culture guy, does he? So they can preach culture. I mean, was Brandon Huntley Hatfield culture at Tennessee?
No.
No, he's a pain in the butt. Imani Bates was a pain in the butt at Memphis. They didn't want to do what the coaches were telling them to do. Period. End of story. So those two things don't mesh. And look, I'm not blaming Kenny Payne for bringing those guys in. Like, I get it. Bring them in. But don't bring in guys that had issues at other schools, or, you know, try to bring in guys that had issues at other schools and then try to, you know, be on your high horse. Like, those things don't mesh. They don't jive. To me, anyway. But, it's in something else that Travis Branham confirmed. I mean, this is the other side of the story was that Bates and his family were the ones pushing Michigan and that Michigan wasn't interested. They were, like, trying to speak it into existence. It's not what Branham's hearing. Branham's hearing...
It's more mutual.
It's more mutual than people think.
Which is not good for Louisville.
It's not good for Louisville because Caleb Houston's the guy, right?
Yes.
And we talked about that specifically. You talked about that a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago and yesterday. I brought it up again.
Yeah. I mean, Caleb Houston, I mean,
that's the
X factor.
I'm like, look, that's...
That's not good
that's
for
not
Louisville.
Good. Yeah.
That's not good for Louisville.
A spot with playing time... A lot of playing time and a void that Michigan needs to fill opened up.
Yeah.
At that point, could you say, okay, now there's a reason for Michigan to want Imani Bates? There was not a reason before that happened. Now there is.
And now there's a reason.
And that's a red flag for Louisville.
And I mean, Louisville was just the fallback. Just in case.
The side piece.
They're the side. Yeah, as you texted. I didn't want to say that, but because I didn't want to throw you. But yeah, Jack texted me during that interview, like, Louisville was a side piece. Yes, Louisville's a side piece. Michigan's the main
and,
girl.
And maybe they aren't. Maybe Louisville still finds a way to get them. But
it just... Yeah. Man, just,
it doesn't look great.
It doesn't look. It just does not look good. Let's read some texts here, Jack. Texts are coming in hot and heavy. Texter sent me a Twitter screenshot of something our guy Steve Roman said. I'm not going to click on that because I don't know if I'll be able to get back on the text line. Texter says, "Big Reg, telling your guest I'm a Kentucky fan like he didn't know his peak self-awareness. That's thanks, Captain Obvious." I don't know if he knows I'm a Kentucky fan or not because he was like kind of telling me not to worry about Louisville, and I want to be like, Travis, I'm not worried about Louisville.
Also,
I'm
worried about Kentucky. Rummage quote tweeting Aaron Bradshaw photos from his visit at Louisville.
Oh, God, because he didn't take any pictures at Kentucky.
No.
He didn't do any. Yeah, exactly right. Y'all need to chill out on
throwing an L's up.
Yeah, well, good for him. Texter says, I want Dillingham. Would like to have DJ too. Rather have Dillingham. No, I want them both. I'm not playing. Would you rather? I want them both. Texter said, when was the last time UVille actually beat UK out in a basketball recruit? It's been a long time, so we'll see what happens. Texter, follow the money. I think this whole new college basketball world could go awry. Well, that's... It is what it is, brother. This is the world we're living in now. Texter, no worries. Michigan doesn't want him. That's not the case. At least it seems. Texter, it's amazing the thought-out, antiquated opinions Strebel can provide when he's given ample time to give them, and Sweeney and Jack aren't screaming over him. Look, to be fair to Sweeney and Jack, I do most of the screaming. I scream more than anybody else.
But most of the time when I'm screaming, it's either Oscar or TJD,
yes,
or it's me just vehemently disagreeing with something that you're saying.
And Andy doesn't really scream.
He's just a naturally loud talker.
He's a loud talker. Like, I yell and scream sometimes. Texter, no player comes for the culture to any program. They come for the coach getting the next level, and now the NIL, the order is up for debate. I agree with that, Text. Texter, he obviously... has not had short-term success. He's building a program. Talk about Kenny Payne and NIL. It takes a few years to build a culture. Doesn't year one or even year two. All the football we're talking about. Well, I'm not reading this. This is too long.
Football's
different than basketball. And look, you can tout Satterfield's culture all you want. God bless you. If you believe that, that's fine. That's not the case. They're not coming because of Satterfield's culture. They're just not. Their culture is losing to Air Force, going 6-6, winning 8 games his first season, and being under 500 the next 3 seasons, so that's fine. Texter, did you hear Diener and Blank taking up for Montrez this morning? Look, I took up for Montrez.
I'm pretty sure we've all taken up for Montrez.
I mean, Pot's not what it used to be in the eyes of law enforcement any longer. It just isn't. Or in the eyes of the collective community. It just isn't. So, I mean, I hope the charges become lessened and it's not felony trafficking, which is absurd to me. It's absurd. Texter, UofL beat out UK for Aiden Gahan. No, they didn't. Kentucky never offered Aiden Gahan.
Aiden Gahan had such a storied basketball career.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And he never, look, I got to that debate with Cooper Hassan back when he was on the take, and I was telling him he didn't have a UK offer, and Cooper, yes, he did, and it came out he never had a UK offer. Like, it's not a debate whether Aiden Gahan had a UK offer or not. He never was offered. So, no, Louisville didn't beat out Kentucky for Aiden Gahan. You have to have an offer for someone for you to beat someone out on them. That's not up for debate. He didn't, so there you go. And, again, he's at Grand Canyon. Why do you care? It's not like...
That's the important part of that.
Right, it's not like it's Marcus Teague and he won a national championship. It's not like he was Trey Lyles and, you know, went to the Final Four. It's not like that. Like, he's at Grand Canyon. So if you want to in your mind have a scenario where Chris Mack,
you beat Cal for a Grand Canyon.
Yeah, exactly. Which didn't happen. But if you're in your la-la fairy tale world, you want to believe that, go for it.
Yeah, you do the Bobby V. Grant your argument.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not hating with you. Texter, I stay with Mitch Barnhart. I don't. Look, Mitch Barnhart's been a fine, he's been a better than fine. He's been a really good athletic director. I just don't like his hesitancy on NIL. Look, we have a ton of sound to play. And Jack, you're going to have to help me on this about, what sound we need to play, because some of this we got to get to sooner rather than later. Jack, why don't you give us a tease? I've blabbed for 2 hours now. We had some guests. Thank you, Paolo Del Piccolo. Thank you, Travis Randall, for joining us. But I've blabbed for 2 hours. Give me some sound. Give me something funny. Give us a taste of what we're going to get here.
I really don't need to be seeing all your junk next to my egg foo young. I mean, that's not, that's not cool.
I just think for safety purposes, that makes sense.
They dress for meals.
That's the good stuff. your junk next to the Egg Foo Young. You keep telling me that they went off the rails, and I can't wait to see how far off the rails. All right, give me something else, Jack, real quick. Let's do one more. Take a break. Set up the next hour. Let's go. Uh-oh.
I'm just worried. I'm just looking around. I'm like,
you've definitely panicked.
Who's left? Like, that's the problem.
And not my job to know.
And, well, I know it's not your job to know necessarily. It's their job to know. But I just want it to be quality, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's an abundance of guards in the portal. I mean, they're going to be able to find a guard. But is it going to be a guard that's going to, like, you know, press us forward into the NCAA tournament?
See, Blanket Baker is one of the few Louisville fans that are not settling. Like, he has issues with Kenny Payne not being able to land these guys. He's one of the few. Well, actually, one of the few around here. I'll take that back.
Bless his soul, Mark Blanket Baker now. I mean, he's either he's in a sports funk or he's slowly turning into Andy Sweeney. It's one of the two. And it was
I think it's two.
Listen,
he's finally been infected.
I mean, he was so aggravated yesterday, and I said, Mark, he got a 5-star down there on campus now, and his response was, oh, another big.
Yes, he's right.
Like, hey, bro, I ain't got nothing to say. I don't know what. Okay, conversation's over. Like, you know, I mean, but if we're sitting here in November and he's landed the number one player, another 5-star, then
good for Blank. I stay with Blanket Baker. I stay with the sheriff. I stand with the sheriff.
Sheriff Blank.
Sheriff Blank. Sheriff Blank. Sheriff Blank. You all should be worried if you have 9 scholarship players and LLs as your point guard. He's not a point guard. Your point guard's not a point guard. I know he told you on Twitter that he's a point. He ain't a point. And if he gets hurt, then what? You got Mike James coming off an Achilles injury. Kamari Lance isn't a guard. What are you going to do?
You got to listen to the people who actually are in tune, not for the people who were in tune 5 years ago,
right?
And having them steer you all over the place. But who's in tune now?
Yeah.
And the people who wrote that letter and the people who are spreading all this misinformation aren't in touch with what's actually going on.
I'm not talking about people whose names are on the letter as signatures. I'm talking about people who wrote it or whatever.
Correct.
By the way, Alabama.
I wonder what he's on top of Alabama there. All right, Jack, let's take a break. On the other side of things, I want to get to some of this Danny Manning sound. Some interesting things here. The guard situation being a work in progress. The team. Also, some quotes on from Kenny Payne about the team, how he wants to see them play next year. We'll get to that. Also, on 3, updated recruitings. We got a full hour to go here. Let's on the take. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425. In weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.